Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
They paved paradise with a parking lot. Put up big hotels, boutiques, and swinging hot spots. Don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you've got till it's gone. Paved paradise with a parking lot.
That is Les Stroud, survival expert and musician as well. You know him from Survivor Man, Gina Grant's favorite show,
I'm
Discovery.
Out.
All those years, the show that paved the way to all the shows that are on now, and a musician, Bittern Lake. It's available now on all music streaming devices, including Amazon. And go ahead and bookmark us and click on through. Good to see you, Les.
Thank you very much.
It says here, produced by Mike Klink. The same Mike Klink who did Appetite for Destruction and Use Your Illusion?
He's done one or two songs. Yes, indeed.
I'm a fan of his dad, Colonel.
So am I.
Hogan. I love that. I love his voice.
I see nothing. Yeah. I know nothing.
It's a huge GNR fan. I'm excited to listen to this. That's a very cool
thing. Mike's been great, yeah.
Are you living, you're living off the grid currently?
No, I lost that house in the divorce.
Oh,
you didn't read that in Wikipedia, did you?
Got to get my bio straight.
Buy that album, people.
You were living off the grid. Yeah,
by the way, $9.99 for those CDs I just gave you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Well, here we go.
Grab my check.
$10 on.
Yeah. I was, yeah. I mean,
how was that? Yeah. How was it? To live off the how was it emotionally, but I mean, was it eminently doable, or is it to have some pretty tough days?
Oh, it's eminently doable. It's romantic, you know. But there's versions of that, right? We're not talking about being in LA or the Valley and going off grid and subversively. We're talking about Ontario, Northern Canada, in the woods by a lake, you know, with a windmill and a solar panel. It's a lot different. It's the romantic version.
How far away do you think we are from just getting off the grid in suburbia?
Oh, we aren't. I don't think we are ever going to be that.
Is it because of some nefarious plan that involves the power company, or is it what's going on? Like, I feel like we're there and we're not there simultaneously. My wife's got a Tesla X. It's pretty incredible. On the other hand, it just plugs into the wall like everything, like grandma's vacuum cleaner did. Like, we're sort of beyond and in the past.
No, like doesn't it feel like we're like that with just about everything? It's not just, solar power and living environmentally. We're always there, but kind of not there. And then we make ourselves feel good, and then, screw it. Let's go down this and enjoy ourselves. We're always caught in the middle. But we lead lives of conflict. That's the biggest thing that I had to grapple with, was realizing that you can't be a purist. You can't be, too much of a purist about it, because I mean, hell, I'm a filmmaker. I use plastic all the time, yet I speak out against single-use plastic. So it's tough. I lead lives of conflict with it.
Yeah. I think in life, or as I've sort of described when I was talking about building a new house that was going to be very energy efficient, and envelope house and all these things that were very extreme. And then when someone said to me, how's that going? I said, well, I've kind of gone from vegan to vegetarian. Like, I do want a fireplace in my house, and if you go full vegan, no fireplace.
Well, if someone says that to you, it's like it's the cliche. We want the cliche. Like, how are you doing with that? Do you watch TV still, or are you like around candle? Like, well, how you? And it's not like that at all. It's like, no, it cost me $18,000 in solar panels, and it's a whole other world than what people think it is.
I'll tell you, the guy is still, the guy sort of walks the walk and pedals the Schwinn is Ed Begley Jr. Like, if you go meet Ed somewhere far away from his house to shoot something or do something, as I've done in the past, he'll come pulling up on his bike, and I'm like, you're out in Valley Village and you're out, we're over here in Travel Town or whatever. It's like, yeah, he pedals, man.
But those guys are rare. Those guys, oh, you know, the no. purists are, I for years did the log cabin living, the remote living, off the grid because you were off the grid because you were off the grid. It had nothing to do with solar panels. It's romantic. It's great, but you have to live it knowing you pretty much eschew society at the same time. You got to be prepared for that. You're not watching the news every morning.
Yeah, like Man in the Wilderness or Jeremiah Johnson.
Dick Bronicky.
I got a question emotionally, which is...
Don't get emotional on me.
I shall. It is too
Does
late.
Does he do this often?
I've crossed
every day.
Over.
Got to have a Kleenex.
I think we've all... Anyone who travels and goes and does an event, you realize if you go to England, you go do some car event like I did recently, you're kind of gone for about 4 days. You're either in an airplane or you're in a race car. Or you're staying at some weird place that's 500 years old, Lord Goodwood's castle or something. And then you don't think about it, but you come back and then somebody wants to explain, oh, did you hear about what happened with David Spade and the Me Too movement? And you're like, what? And then you go like, oh, shit, I haven't thought about any of this stuff for 4.5 days. And then you automatically feel better because you're not being inundated with all this horrible information, most of it bullshit, constantly. But then there's another side, which is completely isolating yourself and starting to chew on your own foot because you're hearing... You end up talking to Wilson, the volleyball. So there's that. What is the happy balance? I feel right now it's too much information, people staring at their phones, too much tweeting, too much sharing, too much news. What's that balance? You've probably been on both ends.
Yeah, and the happy balance is tricky. I'll tell you a story when my ex and I lived in the bush for a year. So we lived in the bush for a year, way up north, close to the Arctic, alone, the two of us. It was ultimately a pretty romantic year. We were young and fit, and we had no kids, so we did this thing. Had a plane come in halfway through the year at some point. It was the local pilot. He wanted to check up on us, see how we were doing. And he landed, and of all the news you could imagine that he was to bring me...
Because you had no news.
We had no news for months on end, so it was that...
What year would you reckon this was?
This was 1994, 95.
Mm-hmm.
It's middle of winter, minus 1,000, lake's frozen, 6 feet of ice, he lands on the skis, he comes out. Here's the big piece of information he had to tell me. Michael Jackson married Priscilla Presley.
And then you go, I haven't missed anything. Goodbye.
I was like, you can stop right there.
I'm re-upping for another year.
And did you bring the beef jerky? That's all I really want to know.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's a weird... When I was an outdoor guide, I remember that was a period of my life where I didn't want to know. It's why... For a lot of time, I didn't even know the grunge music movement hit. Have you heard this new band? I don't want to know about it. Because I had left, that we were talking about this off mic earlier about, like, I left music in the 80s when it turned real bad. And then I just didn't want to hear about it. So you have an opportunity when you're an outdoor nut and you're out there doing all this to say, I don't want to, hey, did you know that? I don't want to hear. You know, mm-hmm. And so trippers would come in and you take them out and you'd hear them talking about something over there, politics. And just like, I'm going to paddle my canoe. I'm going to show you how to get down this next set of rapids. And it's weird. You just are able to just say, I'm done. I'm out here.
I think that Bush pilot did you wrong because I think it was Lisa Presley.
Lisa, okay. Yeah.
But he said Priscilla, no way of knowing. So that's not your fault.
Right.
At the time, that was on the table with Michael Jackson. That was totally plausible.
That's right.
That's right.
It could have been both. We don't know.
This half of the show brought to you by Udemy at Udemy. .my/Adam and also Geico at geico.com. I am very much of the mindset that more people need more time doing and more time away, and a big advocate for get out to the garage and do something with your hands or build something or sort of tactile, walk that trail, chuck that rock into that, you know, skip it along the lake or whatever it is, but get out from behind the information panel that's illuminating everyone's face at night. And I don't know that it's ever made anyone happier. I see it sort of somewhere between depression and just sort of a low grade depression, like not really overtly depressed,
like,
but just sort of like everyone's dimmer switch got turned down a little, with little spikes of anger and rage and ecstasy and whatever, but everyone's just kind of...
We're living in a brownout.
Right.
Of energy.
Right. Mm. And I'm constantly sort of saying to people, get up, move, go do this, start walking, get out, get a project, go fix that. And everyone's going, don't do it yourself. Someone else will do it. And you go, no, you do it. So I don't know what that balance is. And I don't know. Do you check your computer? Do you check your emails?
Oh, I'm just as much of a slave to you know, modern technology and social media. Maybe not as anybody else, but I'm a slave to it. And there's a little, I was checking out the news feed just before I got into this studio. My thing is, which I'm stealing the phrase, is Shinrin Yoku, which is 10 minutes of forest bathing they do in Japan now. It's mandatory in different places of work.
We've talked really? About it on the
it's
show.
It's magic.
Yeah.
So, and I know you love
10
to tinker,
minutes of
10 minutes by a tree. That's all I'm asking. And it doesn't have to be Peru like where I go. It could be the park down the street. So you love to tinker on cars. And,
sure.
And, right. But you know there's a point where at some point you just go, when you stand back and look at what you've been doing and you've been getting that out of your hands sort of thing, forest just does that for you naturally. So that's my thing is just like, when was the last time the three of you in this room actually went out and just sat by a tree for
together,
10 minutes?
Together, not since yeah, last week maybe?
It's been a while. Yeah,
yeah, it's been four days.
I'm unclothed, I mean.
Obviously.
I have taken my big fat dog down horse trails in my neighborhood.
Done.
And it's just a trail and there's nothing around you and it's just you and the kind of the dog, and you immediately, it's a little rough when it's really dog days of summer, but when it's nice, it's just nice. You just walk around the block, turn the corner, find that horse trail and chug down it, and whatever, your mind immediately just sort of starts to mellow out.
What's happening to you, Adam, when you do that, whether you like it or not, whether you want it to or not, all of that nature is bombarding you with great chemicals, good shit. It's making you stronger, smarter, quicker witted. And you don't have to ask for that. You don't have to meditate. You don't have to do it. You just got to be there. See, mm-hmm. Walking the dog.
I recommend it highly, and I think almost everybody these days could find that horse trail somewhere in the vicinity of where they are. Sometimes you have to drive, but I mean, there's some version of a park or something that's got a
pond.
Little something.
Well,
yes.
And also, I love to do like a overnight getaway or weekend getaways. And for me, because I'm not really very athletic and I don't really know how to do a lot, I do love that environment. So I always look for, where's a cool place with like a yurt in the middle of nowhere? Where's
exactly,
a treehouse?
Yeah.
Where's a tent that kind of involves a little, I hate the word, but a little glamping. Somebody can help me a little.
But
then I can be there. And it's the best.
It is the best. I'm Survivor Man, and I glam. You know, it's like, oh,
yes!
Every time I show up in some sort of canoeing or camp, it's like, oh, you're gonna sleep out in the grass and the bugs, and you're gonna eat some snakes. I'm like, no, I brought an amazing meal, a great bottle of wine, and a camp chair. I'm just like,
how? I can't believe you got divorced. You found the only woman who would live in the bush with you for a year. And somehow you guys figured out to part ways at a certain point, which means any of us can get divorced.
No one's safe.
No one's safe.
No one is safe, because I can't think of many women I've met who would do a year in the bush
off
the grid.
Sue was unique, but you can't, you know, it's not like you can slam the door on a tent. So it's just like, it doesn't work the same. It's got to zip it up really fast.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to
That's it.
Prove
zip.
A point.
I'm going to stay on this side of the campsite.
I said, good day. Zip. All right. Let me tell you about Udemy. One thing I love about podcasting is learning, listening to new ideas in a space that didn't exist a decade ago, like Udemy, the largest, most accessible online learning marketplace. The most courses, teachers, opportunities for students around the globe. 65,000 plus courses from coding to comic book art available anywhere on their website and app. So I love about this is the good part about all the information that's out there and all the stuff you don't have to go to a brick and mortar place to learn anymore. You just turn on your phone, turn on your computer at home, computer with their app. You can do it on the phone, waiting around, getting on an airplane or waiting in line at the DMV to get that new ID or whatever it is. Don't waste your time anymore. Learn something. Udemy gives you access to knowledge wherever you are, and you can check out Udemy. We've got it exclusively, and we have an offer for my listeners only. Right, Dawson?
Go to ude.my/Adam right now and get 90% off when you sign up for classes. You will not find a better price, so sign up for classes now using our link, ude.my/Adam, and get access to life-changing classes for 90% off. Then make sure you download their app to your phone so you can stream your studies wherever you are. That's ude.my/Adam, ude.my/Adam.
All right. I think we should take a quick break with Les, and then we'll come back and we'll jump in and do the news right after this.
Hey, this is Stephanie Wilder Taylor.
And Lynette Carolla.
And we're For Crying Out Loud. Listen to our show because there's lots of swearing.
Mm-hmm, lots of stories.
Lots of personal information.
That you don't really need to know, but we tell you anyway.
Yeah.
So check us out on iTunes and Podcast One.
For Crying Out Loud with Lynette Carolla and Stephanie Wilder Taylor. Every Tuesday and Friday at Carolla Digital, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.
With Grad, news with Gino Grad, breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad, trouble in the Middle East, celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, the weather conditions continue to present problems for firefighters out here in the West as blistering heat, dry brush fuel 63 large wildfires over here in this region. The Carr Fire, C-A-R-R, in Shasta County, California, for example, now over 100,000 acres and 30% contained. And it has even produced something of a force majeure. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, a fire-nado. Yeah. And I have some footage of it. Some footage of this monstrous fire tornado has been caught on tape and posted online. Wow. There's one.
Jesus.
Apparently caused by sort of the updraft of the fire, but still looks like...
I wonder if Ian Ziering's agent like got on the phone premature, like, all right, new project.
Great news.
Two words, or one word, or one and a half word. Fire-nado. Let's get you booked. Let's lock this down.
You had me at fire NATO.
Now, typically, according to KQED.org, fire tornadoes, fire NATOs are a few hundred feet high. They last minutes, couple seconds. But this was different. On Thursday night, the fire near Redding exploded into a colossal fire tornado that reached 18,000 feet in the air and lasted nearly an hour. I have a little bit more footage, unless you've seen enough. Here we go.
Never seen enough fire NATO.
I know. It's insane.
Yeah.
So this is a guy getting out of town
with
his family.
Thanos is coming down.
Oh, my God.
The four horsemen.
Is he?
Oh, my God.
Trying to stay ahead of it.
Yeah. He should stifle himself a little bit verbally, but it's good footage.
So when you think, when you live in that neighborhood, what's going to get me, the wildfire or the fire tornado?
I feel like fire tornado is the way you want to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the landlocked version of being eaten by great white sharks. Mm. Just like, how'd grandpa go? Everyone's like, oh, he died in the arms of a prostitute and, well, syphilis claimed him. I mean, like, there's all that. And then there's stupid stuff, you know, like I told him not to change his own transmission, but he said he could do it. He jacked his car all up on a Saturday, and we didn't come back till Sunday night. We didn't know. We just noticed the smell.
Yeah.
Like, there's that, and then there's fire tornado, which is like it's ultimate Viking funeral on land. You know what I mean?
Everybody wants to die awesomely.
Yeah, that's an awesome way to die.
150 years from now, your great-great-great-grandchildren are researching their ancestry, and they're looking at the cause. You know, he died cancer, and he died car accident, he died pneumonia. Died fire NATO.
Yeah.
He's a hero.
Coolest relative.
Yeah,
ever.
It's like, cool. Naming all our kids Adam Carolla.
I always always joke with Jay Leno, though he never laughs when I tell him this joke. But I said, like, you know, ultimately some kid's gonna write a term paper on you because you're Jay Leno and you hosted Tonight Show all those years and Leno's Garage and everything. And I remember I wrote one on Babe Ruth or Rod Carew or some baseball player or something, Hank Aaron or something. Someone's going to write. And then at the end, it's going to say, in 2049, he died in a steam car accident. And it's going to be super confusing because everyone's going to be driving hovercraft and the Jetson mobile. And then the teacher's going to go, you better research this again. Yeah. No one died in a steam car accident. No one was driving a Stanley Steamer in 2049, bucko. Go fix that.
Failed because of Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Right. but it will be Jay Leno's demise.
Mm-hmm. Less curious, in all of the crazy temperatures, crazy scenarios, is there one sort of natural disaster or one thing that you absolutely avoided at any cost that you would never want to go back to?
A survival situation was I don't want to go back to being in a raft. I was in a raft for 4.5 days, and that I came off that going, yeah, nah, not doing that again.
Four and a half days.
Yeah, floating in a raft.
Open ocean?
Yeah, open ocean.
Wow.
Yeah. Gulf, I guess, but yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah. What do you do for water? What do you do for food?
Catch rain and try to catch fish and, you know, try to group up plankton and stuff like that. It's not. The other side of the coin is cold. I was going to ask, you know, where's the toughest place on the planet? It's not about geography. It's never been about geography. It's about temperature. I'll take anywhere if it's 70 degrees, but you make it below zero and it's like, you got to work. You just can't stop. Everything. If it's 70 degrees and horrible situation, you've got forgiveness. Even if there's bugs, you still got some forgiveness time. But when it's cold, that's it. You're nothing but surviving every moment, every day, right, constantly never stopping. So it's never geography. It's always about temperature for me.
Well, and you should teach at Weight Watchers or something, because I remember watching
Survivor Man Diet.
Watching so many shows and be like, well, I have a couple of mint leaves. That'll keep me until morning. I'm like, it won't. That's very impressive.
Is plankton, you said, trapped when you're in the Gulf, huh? How does one get plankton?
I don't know what you'd get in the Gulf. There was not much alive in the Gulf.
So you basically don't eat for 4.5 days.
Basically. That's the thing, you know, after Survivor Man and then all the other shows kind of jumped on that wagon, a lot of, I think, it started to look like survival was a recreational activity. And it ain't. My whole point was always, there's nothing but ugliness about survival. What do you want to do in a survival situation? Go home.
Right.
You don't, I'm going to build a shelter. No, I want to go home and have a beer. This sucks. I want to get out of here.
I'm telling you guys that I was going to talk about it on Kimmel last week. It was one of those things where you're getting into it with your segment producer, and then you just have so much stuff, you go so many different directions, you never get into it. But one of the things I was talking to Ken Crosby, segment producer,
what else you got?
Was, I don't know why, but somehow my TV with the new sort of Brady Bunch queue, or like the new format when you turn it on, it's like, here's all the shows that you're going to be watching. Naked and Afraid and My 600-Pound Life, it seems to think I need
you're
to watch
that.
These shows, although I've never watched those shows, because, and then they start running the spots, and it's like the Naked and Afraid, it's like, I had carpenter ants go up my scrotum last night, and I'm like, I'm not interested in this, and the 600-Pound Life one is the super sad guy with the saggy titties, or the fat chick who has to put the sheet over part of her, and she's sitting on a beanbag chair, and it's like, I don't want to see this. Here it is. But I was explaining, as it pertained to Naked and Afraid, I got this free show on the internet called Naked and Fucking. And I tend to like to watch that for free. These are happy people, sometimes getting paid, young women, models from all over the world. It's boundless and it's endless.
So long as it's not My 600-Pound Life, Naked and Fucking.
Do not combine those two shows.
That's not going to be good.
But I got Happy, Naked, and Fucking over here versus Naked and Afraid. I'm nothing in it for me. I feel bad.
But
and everyone's crotch, there's some sort of ants going at everyone's ball sack and ass. And that guy's, these carpenter ants ate my taint last night. I'm like, why do we enjoy that?
They're different, you know. I got hit up on those shows a lot, because I mean, before Survivor Man they didn't exist, and after Survivor Man it exploded. It started with Man versus Wild and it carried on. Everything being set up. I heard you talking about this about your car show, and you know, the producers, and there's always one person at the network. It's not like it's not them. There's always one dick at the network who is a bean counter. So they started counting the beans. They started producing these shows. What are they? Are they survival shows? No, they're suffer fests.
Right.
Made to look like some loose connection to wilderness survival. They got nothing to do with time
with
in
an
the bush.
Entire camera crew
and a script.
Yeah,
it's
which
gotta
Les never
be.
Had.
I mean, there's so much Schadenfreude now that I think it's a sad nation and a sad sort of testimonial when we need, like, you know, I sit around and I go, well, listen, I may be obese, but I'm not morbidly obese. Look at that bitch. she's 600 pounds.
I'm barely, messy. I'm not a hoarder.
I wasn't even 400 this morning. I was like 385, you know? And like, look at her. Yeah, yeah. Look at them. Yeah, look at that poor
can't
hoarder.
Even
look at that poor. Yeah, like, I got nothing going on, but I'm not that.
Yeah.
You know, it's this weird Schadenfreude thing that it's a human instinct that we should try to tamp down that feeling of like, I'm not as bad as that person is.
Race to the bottom.
Like, let's see if we can do better than not that bad.
Well, you know, I think I don't know how dark you want to go with this, but I think who should be ashamed of themselves are the joke TV producers that think this is cool. Because you know how it works. Hey, you know what would be cool? What if, and that's how everything starts.
Right.
What if, and then it's a bunch of frat guys and sometimes frat girls coming up with this crap. And the moment that I was the most disgusted, because the only time I ever see this is in a hotel room and I'm traveling around. All right, let's see what's on TV. Holy crap. Oh my. I have verbally said out loud in hotel rooms many times, are you fucking kidding me? And then, one time I'm watching.
Mr. Stroud, is there a problem with your room service?
Evidently, the prostitute. No, there's not.
Do you need more towels?
The prostitute must have asked for cash again. All he has is credit cards.
We got Venmo.
Traveler's checks.
Get her out of here. No. So one time I'm watching, and that happened, and what it was one of those hoarder shows, or my favorite addiction shows, or something like that. And the people that were on were clearly intellectually disabled.
Right.
And that's when I went, you asshole producer, you're using this. I'm swearing to you. You got me swearing.
No, God, but listen, if you have,
I'm revved now.
When I find me the 600 pound life poster with the dude on it, the one that just comes up on TV with the weird pointy upside down pyramid tits. But look, well, I used to do earthquake rehab. I'd go into a lot of these guys' units. They're like subsidized living, elderly people, downtown LA, and many of them were clearly nuts. And there was one guy. I remember very clearly every week he'd order a half gallon of milk. And then when he was done with the carton, he would cut out the panel with the missing kid on it. And he had them stacked floor to ceiling over his single unit.
That's so creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy. But that guy's nuts. And I wasn't like, I understood when I was 26, this guy's like, I wasn't going, hey, everyone get in here, get your camera and pose by this guy. Like, this guy's got mentally deficient. And it wasn't a source of entertainment. It was weird. It was weird and creepy and sad. It wasn't, let's film this guy.
It is now.
Now it is, let's film this guy, right? Yeah.
And that's the part that really revved me and got me pissed, was the time that I saw that. I thought, okay, you got freaks and geeks and freaks. Okay. No, that person's intellectually disabled. What are you doing? And that's, like I said, I just freaked out at the producers, because that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Comes down to the producers in the end.
I agree.
When things clearly stop looking like a choice someone's making and just something that they have to,
This guy's got his shirt off, Max Spada. That will be your clue. We just showed a profile of a guy with a shirt on, which I would love to see.
Pyramid nipples.
This is not, you shall see his shirt off.
He said pointy nipples, but okay.
No, I said upside down pyramid titties. Yeah.
Okay.
New punk band.
Shirt off, Maxipata. Don't try this shit on me. No. Shirt off. Yes. Don't show me anything with a shirt on. It will never be what I'm talking about.
Okay. This was the most popular image for that. That's why we...
Right. But this will have the shirt off.
Okay.
As I said.
Made the mistake of Googling it.
Do you see him?
No, not that one, but I'm not looking that close.
This guy's just got like a goatee.
Take your safe search
on
off.
The guide. Maybe
on
we'll,
the oh, guide.
Actually, look up DirecTV. Go on the DirecTV website, because the image they have for the show will probably be another one you're talking about. And when I scan over it in the guide, it's the one that pops up in the corner.
Yes, and it's just on my front page, even though it's weird. Again, I watch car shows and then some CNN and some Fox and try to get some information, but I never watch those shows. I don't watch them because I assume there's a bunch of super fat people out there that I already feel sorry for.
Yeah.
And it's also a little difficult to watch.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a dentistry channel, I wouldn't fucking watch the dentistry channel because it'd be hard to watch.
Yeah. Ironically, doesn't pass the lasagna test.
No. I have to be able to enjoy my lasagna while I'm watching whatever TV program. And if I have to put the fork down,
that
means we've crossed the line.
It's
my
bar.
Lasagna test.
The lasagna standard.
Thank you. Yeah. But if I keep implementing that test, I will then join the cast of the 600-pound life. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown will rob your engine and of maximum performance. Friction result in the loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology. It's physically transforms to be stronger under pressure, helps fight friction, and delivers maximum engine performance. Don't worry, Brian. Keep going. Don't have to hit the three times.
Three times
stronger against viscosity breakdown than the leading full synthetic oil Castrol Edge. Unlock the performance in your car's engine. All right, what else we got, Gina Graham?
Well, a new category on Yelp that will allow businesses to declare themselves, quote, open to all, will be taking an online anti-discrimination pledge.
Oh, they're heroes.
Yeah, the San Francisco.
Yeah, I pass all those businesses with big lines of black people and gay people, their faces pressed up against the window, and they're like, I just want to get some muffins. Well, you cannot. Fuck you.
The San Francisco-based review site announced Tuesday they were partnering with the Movement Advancement Project to help promote non-discrimination laws and would be joining 1,200 small businesses in declaring that they will maintain a, quote, welcoming and safe environment for people, including employees, visitors, customers, vendors, clients, regardless of race, ethnicity, national origin, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, expression, religion, disability. It goes on and on. A new tab will be added.
Good. I'm going in that all ladies said, Jim. What is that? Curves,
yeah.
Oh, you can't deny
as
me.
A lady.
No,
no.
You just can't say we're doing this group or that group.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gender discrimination.
Thank you, Yelp.
A new tab.
I'm gonna chub up, and I'm going over there, man.
It'll be added to restaurants and other businesses on Yelp.
Oh, fuck them with their fucking hero signaling shit all the time. You know why I don't like any of this shit? Because it's like me saying, hey, I've taken all of the homes in Southern California. I'm going to issue them mosquito nets because of the malaria problem.
Okay.
And then everyone goes, holy shit, what?
There's a malaria problem?
No, there isn't a malaria problem.
But
thank you, hero. Malaria exists. It happens on occasion. Yeah, there's some guy out of Boulder who's a devout Christian who doesn't want to bake a cake for a gay couple. That happens insanely rarely, and it's not even worth a policy. This notion of like, we need a policy, because you just fucking go down the street and go find another baker and they'll bake you the cake you want, or 1,000 other places will do it. It's insane. But okay, heroes, what else has Yelp done? Because they're going to stomp this out, this big problem we have with all the discrimination that's going on a business level. Go, please.
Well, I do like the last line, as though anyone will do it. Business owners can leave the tab blank or expressly say they're a business that is not open to all.
Oh, really?
Apparently.
Yeah.
How many times do you think that's going
to happen?
That's
the way to get rich as a business.
Yeah. You know, when I was coming in here today, I thought, I wonder what he's going to rant on. I can't wait to hear it.
I'm so tired of the fucking heroes. We want to create an environment that welcomes all people, regardless of sexual. Yeah, we get it. We fucking get it. We've been there for 30 fucking years or 40 years. Just fucking moving on. God damn it. It's like, I'm so fucking tired of everyone grandstanding and talking about this environment, this inclusive environment you're fucking creating. Just go make your fucking food or whatever it is you're doing and leave us alone. Yep. Leave us the fuck alone. Stop grandstanding. Stop everybody. Your fucking coexist bumper stickers and everyone. Everyone's a hero.
No, exactly. You know what it is? It's the same thing as trying to claim authenticity. You don't claim authenticity. You either are. Or you aren't. You don't say, I'm authentic. No, you either are or you aren't. It's the same thing. There's a claim going on here. They don't make the claim. Just be it.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about this today when I was driving in, and I was really drilling down on it, which is everybody. Look no further than you have kids, and you'll really learn, especially if you have a boy and a girl, you'll learn like almost every human emotion, like good and bad, just through sort of watching them. You know, your son will like come up and he'll tell you stories. Like he'll go, I was playing a basketball game and this kid, he's a seventh grader. He's older and he was bumping into me and he was trying to intimidate me and I got in his face and I put my finger in his face. And like, we all know that that's not what happened.
He cowered in the corner, but that's cool.
Right. But we all have this little part of us that wants to go, you know, I was walking down the street and I saw these guys from MS-13 and they got this girl in the corner. So I jumped in and I said, you picked the wrong day, MS-13.
Not today.
And the guy pulled out a machete and I snatched it out of his hands. Police said I was a hero.
Sure, like, it hurt, but you know what?
All right, we all have a yearning every human, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. We have this yearning of saying, there's a version of, I saw this guy and I helped him out and I helped this person, or I gave this person some of my time and attention, or there was a crime going on and I got in the middle of it, you know, and we all have a yearning to be a hero. Now, surviving 4 days, 4.5 days on a raft, Gulf of Mexico, that gets you some status. Eating grubs
better
in a shrub.
Man points.
Not in a pub.
Yeah, no, not in a pub, in a shrub, in a eating grub. Yeah, yeah. Now, no, we've tub. All spilled the same blood in the same mud, so we know.
Now we're talking.
We're hip-hopping now.
All I'm saying is, here's the deal.
We sure are.
We would all like to say, I lived in the bush for a year and survived it, but who the fuck wants to live in the bush for a year? That sounds like it sucks to
Much
me.
Much rather just say it than do it.
And I think we'd all like to go, hey, I lived on a raft with nothing for 4.5 days in the Gulf of Mexico. So because you were at a party, people go like, oh, man. Ooh. Oh,
honey,
there you
come
go.
Here, you got to hear this.
They go. And we all want to say, hey, there's a couple gangbangers, and they grab this old lady's purse. So I come running out, and I grab the purse back. Like, we all want that, but we don't want to get... We don't have the chance of getting stabbed by the gangbanger, right? Right? But it's built in to all of us.
Yeah.
Now, there's a new way where you get to be a hero, but you don't have to run out into the street and deal with the guy who may have the knife. Mm-hmm. Or you don't have to float around the Gulf of Tonkin and have... Maybe that's Vietnam. You don't have to say you're in Vietnam. You can be in the rear with the gear. You do not... have to be in the grub in a shrub. You be in the rear with the gear, but you still get to be a hero because ultimately we all want to feel like heroes, but no one wants to mix it up because we're fucking pussies and we don't want to get stabbed and we don't want to whatever. So you may want to be a hero, but you're not going down to Klan headquarters and going, all right, who's next? And like bust a bottle over the counter. You know, we got a nice mahogany bar and we usually serve on tap, but there are some bottles there. We had Michelob Ultra actually brought in. And anyway.
The humblest brag.
Well, some of us are on the low carb thing, you know. So the point is we all want to be heroes. He and she. Everyone wants to be a hero. Mm-hmm. No one wants to do whatever that work is that involved being a hero. Companies want to be heroes, but they don't want to go, well, we give half of our profits away to, you know, a Habitat for Humanity. They don't want to do that, right. But they still like to be a hero. So here we are.
Policy. Make a policy.
Make a policy and then make a proclamation.
They should just call it the hero policy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have the 600-pound life photo, you think?
I think.
Is that guy.
No!
So this is another version of the show. It's called My 600-Pound Life, Skin Tight.
So spin-off show.
That's horrible.
I don't want that guy on my fucking screen.
You know, there are things you cannot unsee.
He looks like he saw the Ark of the Covenant.
Point is
deflated balloon.
A nice busty woman with a D cup, with that would be
No, can do.
I don't know how this guy gets that. Can I talk to the fucking TV genie and explain I'm not watching any of these shows? Please stop. Put some car shows up there, bitch. All right, get it off there, Max Bad. It's hurt my eyes. What are you doing?
Okay. Sorry.
That was tough stuff.
Now that guy.
Poor thing.
Poor him. What about us?
You commit to that life, you reach your goal, and you got nothing to show for it but 100 pounds of sagging skin.
Can I say this? You know how famous senator whatever said with pornography, it's like, I'll know it when I see it. Supreme Court justice. Mm-hmm. I'll know it when I see it. I'll know it when I see it, when it hurts. When it hurts my teeth. And what we're not going to put on the front page of your TV is... anything that hurts Adam's teeth. So it will not be pornography or not pornography. Just be, I'll know it when I see it. I'll be the arbiter of all this shit. And
shivers.
This ain't making the cut.
Yeah.
Ugh, that is the guy. Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah. The world according to Adam.
Yeah.
Why not?
All right.
Yeah, should be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, KFI News reports that an Ohio judge got sick and tired of a convicted felon mouthing off, running his mouth during sentencing, and ordered deputies to tape his mouth shut. I'll show you a clip in a second. Franklin Williams was convicted of aggravated robbery, kidnapping, theft, misuse of credit cards, and a weapons charge in December, and was in court to find out how long he would spend behind bars, apparently.
Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah, you won't be shocked. Not his first offense. Judge John Russo ordered Williams to stop talking a dozen times in this 30-minute hearing. The guy refused, constantly interrupting. Williams ignored the warnings, forcing the judge to have deputies place tape on his mouth. Didn't really work, but the judge pressed on, sentenced him to 24 years in prison for his crimes. Here's the setup, the warning, I will put tape over your mouth, and then what he ends up doing.
Does the comment, quit talking, do you understand that?
Because you're trying to take my life.
No.
And you not letting me tell you what's going on.
Bad for a court-appointed attorney has to stand there.
You're trying to take my life.
What does that mean?
Again,
I'm going to interrupt Mr. Williams. Listen to me. If we have to, I will gag you in 1 second. So listen, you will get a chance to talk. I'm going to gag you in 1 second. So just listen.
Scott Van Pelt. Is as the judge.
That's a bad beat.
It's a bad beat.
SVP.
Scott Van Pelt on his ESPN show uses pictures of guys, takes pictures that are sent in of guys that look like him. Mm-hmm. Now, it's weird because you don't think, well, is that not that common looking? But between the glasses and being bald.
Dude, that is 100% correct.
He on airlines, in supermarkets, and some of the pictures that are sent in just look just like him. And it's kind of a funny ongoing thing. I only saw the profile of the judge, but for the segment on ESPN of Scott Van Pelt, when it's not obvious, it's not bad beats, it's a whatever, we caught you, or whatever it is.
SVP, caught SVP.
Somebody send that shit in.
I wish I could claim some kind of racism for this, because I get this all the time. People tweet me pictures of Moby, and it's like, oh, it looks just like you. No, not all bald guys with glasses look exactly the same.
It's baldism, Brian.
Like,
it's
I don't actually look like Scott Van Pelt, but I can see how, if you're an idiot, you think I would.
I beat that, though, because I always tell you when I watch This Week Tonight, I think of you.
That's absurd.
Brian, you're a far more handsome man.
All right. Yeah. So this is what ended up happening when the guy wouldn't listen to him.
Speaking of racist, if I'm the white judge and I got a black guy and I'm thinking about getting some duct tape and putting it around his mouth just because of Southern Poverty Law Center and all the social justice warriors that are out there, it's fine. I mean, it shouldn't be, because the guy won't stop talking, and I'm sure the judge would have done it to an Italian guy just as fast, maybe faster. But can you do that in this day and age?
Well, this can't be the first time, because he told the... Well, let's find out.
Let's see what happens.
Mr. Williams, I want to make it real clear. If you spit on, attempt to bite, or injure any of my deputies, you're going to have a bad day. You clear.
Put the tape on me, man. We got this shit.
Putting the tape around his mouth. Wow. Big red tape.
All right.
You walk away.
There's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
We're back on the record. Mr. Williams will have a chance to speak.
And I'll be monitoring everything.
No, you got to do better than that, Duck. Duct tape.
You know what they're going to say? Did you hear what he said? Put the tape on my mouth. As soon as he said that, they're going to say he gave us permission to do so.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
If you heard him, that's exactly what the convict said. So,
good point.
That's what the claim.
See what that judge looks like. Let's see if we can find a picture. I just saw
a
profile of him. If we can get a headshot of him, we'll send it in the Scott Van Pelt
show. Judge John Russo.
He'll have his new show very soon.
Yeah.
Where did this happen?
Ohio, I believe.
Okay. And you're right, yes, Ohio. Brian. Bald and glasses does not make a doppelganger. No. That's what everyone does.
That's
what
I was defending you, John Oliver.
I get that head of hair. Thank you. I do get that all the time. It's like, hey, it looks just like you. And it's like Moby or something. Yeah. Like, the Moby looks nothing like me.
Beaker and Bunsen.
By the way, how do you think Moby feels? he's devastated.
If you'd let me finish, he's way more handsome.
Moby's fucking crestfallen. I spoke to Moby today, and he's like, Jesus Christ, enough.
Moby would
it's a two-way street.
Moby would never talk to you.
Didn't somebody break into like Moby's house and he took care of him or something?
What?
Moby. Moby lived up at a place called the Wolf's Lair, I think, on the top of like Lake Hollywood. Always my favorite house of Lake Hollywood and Hollywood Land and Beechwood Canyon and all that kind of stuff.
Dude,
great view. I've been up. Yes.
If Moby lives in the Wolf's Lair up there, you know he's drinking absinthe.
Yes.
It's ghoulish.
Well, he probably was. But there was a story, Max Bata, like 8 years ago, where some like homeless guy or runaway kid or something like busted into like Moby's big rented house. And Moby kind of took him in.
Yeah, yeah, the guy was on acid.
See, I always think with guys like that, it's like the opposite. So you got Moby, and then like Eddie Murphy's joke routine about Michael Jackson being a badass, you know, karate guy in behind, like, come on, moonwalk all over your face. Mm-hmm. And then I always think the other way around is going to be like Bruce Willis and Clint Eastwood would be like complete actor pussies.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis, come over here. Sorry, man.
Yeah, some guy was really high, like broke in or stumbled into Moby's house, and Moby took care of him.
When you said took care of him, that's why I made the Hurry Village joke. I thought he beat his ass.
He adopted him.
Gave the guy $20, a sweatshirt, and sent him on his way to get some breakfast.
There you go.
Was that up in Hollywood somewhere or something?
That was in his Los Angeles home.
So yeah, so Wolf Slayer maybe.
Killed him with kindness.
There's a great scene in the John Lennon documentary from 30 years ago at least, where a guy kind of a very out of it, dude stumbles into his mansion, and instead of calling the cops, kicking him out, it's like, "Hey, are you hungry? Need anything?" He was a genuine dude at that. You know,
George Harrison tried that shit too.
Ringo
did not work out well. Got stabbed a whole bunch of times in his entry hall. So it's kind of I feel like if you're talking to Beatles. And you're like, hold on, is this a good idea or a bad idea? Whoa. One of them would go, no fucking way, or you let that person in, they'd be like, what?
I don't know.
Make some tea. Yeah.
I had a good experience.
Yeah, one was attacked and stabbed viciously, and the other had a new best friend. Yeah. A lot of range in Beatles in terms of crazy people wandering into their mansion, right?
And charity. Yeah.
Someone's got to break the tie and go to Ringo's place.
It's always weird when there's little to no security. We always talk about these guys, celebrity, rolling deep with their posse and stuff like that. And it's like, they just walked into the house, took all the jewelry. Yep.
No, I actually just got back from Alaska. I was hanging out with Arnold Schwarzenegger's bodyguard.
Really?
I know. The guy was huge and an awesome dude. And we were fishing for out in the Atlantic. We were doing stuff with black bears, doing this filming. And I'm like, why? How would he need? He goes, think about it. If you wanted to make a name for yourself, you're going to take somebody out. You're going to go after big, huge Arnold Schwarzenegger, somebody like that. That's why he needed a bodyguard. This dude was massive himself.
Wow. Moby does live in Wolf's Lair. Wow. Up top of coolest house ever, if you like architecture or whatever. Toured it once when it was for sale a million years ago just to see it. It's kind of jacked up inside. It's broken off and it's kind of weird, but it's this crazy, like you look out your kitchen window, it's like Hollywood sign, like right there, Lake Hollywood over there. Like it's crazy from the 20s.
Sort of
like
awesome.
Hollywood architecture at its best. It's just at the top. You go Beechwood Canyon until you're like done going up Beechwood Canyon.
And
there it is. It's a funky, funky castle. And the views from there are just dramatic and unbelievable. And speaking of getting out and hitting the trail, that's sort of those fire trails and horse trails and stuff like that. They all kind of start right at his house. And they just go out and around. So say hi to Moby. Get high. Drop some peyote and go say hi to Moby. Yeah. Let me tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. Swing by Moby's house. Say hi. Pick up the milk, put out the dog, take in the cat. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding to do you do today. Go to Geico. That is geico.com. All right, well, one more.
All right. Well, The Hollywood Reporter says that Charlize Theron is attached to star as Megyn Kelly in the upcoming movie about Roger Ailes and Fox News. Nicole Kidman will play anchor Gretchen Carlson, and Margot Robbie will play one of the producers. The studio, which is already making a Dick Cheney biopic with
Margot
Adam
Robbie's
McKay.
A producer?
I was going to say, get in front of the camera, girl.
Yeah. I've worked with a few producers. Most of those dudes do not look like her.
Not Margot Robbie.
The vast majority.
Speaking of which, usually when it's the casting, it's Margot Robbie playing like a Tanya Harding, and it just doesn't fit.
But this makes sense.
This is one of the few situations where you can get the hotties of the hotties, and they'll fit right in.
Yeah, written by the same guy, Charles Randolph, who did The Big Short, directed by Jay Roach. Now, just if you're confused as to why this is happening, Roger Ailes ran Fox News, helped launch the careers of Kelly, Carlson, Sean Hannity, a very powerful channel. Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly. Yeah. Yeah, I said Kelly Carlson.
Yeah, I was just saying their last names.
Sorry,
yeah.
Kelly Carlson. Yeah.
Also a prominent figure in Republican circles.
Nobody whose career he launched looked like Scott Van Pelt. That much I can tell you.
That's true.
ESPN has done a lot for ugly dudes. And Roger Ailes done a lot for hot chicks.
It's all balanced.
Mm-hmm.
You talk too much.
Apparently helped.
Can we find a picture of that judge anywhere?
Not doesn't with glasses. Seem to exist. All, every photo. That's like the only time he's ever been seen with glasses, it looks like.
Oh.
Sad.
All right, sorry.
Apparently helped elect presidents Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush. Ailes was forced to resign in 2016 when a host of accusations of sexual misconduct surfaced with Carlson's and Kelly's, the most high profile, which contributed to his exit from the network. So the movie is on the way.
Did you say who's playing him?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it's been the deal's been made
Harvey
yet.
Harvey Weinstein.
Be nice.
These would be perfect. The I'd guy watch. You love to hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it. His time that he stepped from behind the potted plant and got in front of the camera.
Now, what do I do in this scene? No, I just improvise.
As long as I can do the whole thing in my room.
Look around. What would you do? There's Nicole Kidman in there. There's
Let's say there's
Theron.
Attractive young ficus next to you, and you were in the basement of a restaurant, you're a popular eatery in Manhattan, and the ficus is making small talk
making
with
eyes
you,
at you,
and looking a little dry around the root. Okay. Just go ahead and take that. Just sort of run with it.
Am I married to copy or?
No.
First
you're,
take.
You're married to a to Wing a designer. It. Doesn't yeah. doesn't know what you're up to. So anyway, you know, just the beats. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said beats. All right, we done. We good, Gina Grad?
Yeah, let's
bring
be done.
It home.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
We're hip hopping now. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
In the shrubs with the grubs. That's Les Stroud, everybody. The album, Bittern Lake.
We're hip hopping now.
It's available. Not quite hip hop. It's good music. You can check out the website, SurvivorManTV.com. Subscribe for new episodes and check out that album. And it's all streaming devices, including Amazon. Also, say hi to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. You can check that podcast out at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Very fine podcast. Give a nice rate and review. Us, Pasadena Ice House, coming up the 29th of August to September 13th, Seattle Moore Theater, up there with Adam Ray. And we're going out. Me and August are going to Phoenix to do basic cable commentary. That'll be at Stand Up Live October 6th, Anaheim Grove, coming up November 30th. Check it all out at Chassis if you like as well. We got a lot of new movies going on over there. And until next time, this is Adam Crawford, Les Stroud, Gina Grad, and Bald Brian. I think that's it. Saying mahalo.
I'm Survivor Man, and I glam.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla and leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Come out and see the show August 29th, Pasadena, the Ice House with guest Dr. Drew. Get your tickets now and everything else at adamcarolla.com.